the 260 Dugout Podcast. Welcome to your destination for all things baseball in the Summit City. The 260 Dugout Podcast, presented by the Old Fort Baseball Company. From Little League to Major League Baseball, it's time to go inside the dugout. Here's your host, D.C. Hendricks.
I'm your host, D.C. Hendricks. This is the 260 Dugout Podcast. Of course, we want to send a special shout-out our sponsor, Logan Weening of Old Fort Baseball Company and 1380 The Fan here in Fort Wayne. Got another episode. Before we get started, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Apple, Google Play, Spotify, and everywhere podcasts are available. Make us one of your favorites by subscribing. And go ahead, while you're at it, go ahead and scroll on down, click write a review, and let us know what you are thinking of this show. Some great feedback on the podcast so far. And thus far, Kent McWilliams leading the way, Indiana Tech baseball coach. Tons of downloads on that one. Tons of great feedback on that interview. Tons of great feedback on the most recent episode as well with Logan Weening. But it's time to take it a step further. We got a big guest. Very excited. He's got done coaching my son. We'll get a review on that. But he's got a great program. Somebody that is definitely royalty when it comes to baseball here in the 260. We got the one and only Josh Van Meter. What's up, Josh?
I'm doing good, DC. I appreciate you having me on. Been hearing great things about the pod and glad that I can get on here and try to give something else to the pod, too.
Thanks, man. Don't sell yourself short, man. You know you got this, man. Yeah. But real quick, before we even get started, man, give me your official review. How did my boy look in his training?
He's good, man. He's athletic. He's, for his age, he's strong. He's athletic. And it's just repping it out and putting the time in and build it day by day.
Yeah, absolutely, man. He looked like he was having a good time, which is the most important thing at that age, right?
Yeah, that's you know, at those ages, it's all about the kids finding their passion for the game and learning to love the game and kind of love the chase of what baseball really is. So that is the most important part.
Yeah, I mean, we're ready to leave, and he's already like, all right, when am I coming back? So that's your feedback as the coach, so you got to love that.
I appreciate it.
So before we even go down memory lane, I want to start there, to be honest. Yeah. So talk about what you got going out here at Parkview Sports Medicine Empowered.
Yeah, we're just partnered with Parkview Sports Medicine and really just trying to create a baseball academy, a baseball travel program, just really a baseball organization, youth baseball organization here in town. And I just feel like with my experiences and kind of my age, younger voice and within the community and really my experiences, you know, I'm one of very few that have gotten to do what I do throughout my career. And, I do have a passion for coaching. I didn't want to do it at the professional level. And so I was granted this opportunity to kind of develop this program from the ground up. And I got a lot of you know, big visions and a lot of things that I want to do and how I would like to run it. And a lot of that is based off the experiences I had as a player, you know, from the time I was, you know, 8 to the time I was 30. And so trying to, you know, really mold and develop that next generation of ball player, you know, through the values and principles that I was, you know, kind of raised in, and just try to pass that on to the next generation so that they can learn to love the game as much as I do.
Yeah, and like, so what age groups? Because I know there was like different age groups that were coming in. What age groups do you work with?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really open to anybody. You know, we've had a lot of young guys come in. Obviously, with high school seasons going on, it's been kind of spotty. But, I would say that, you know, it's a pleasure working with young guys. We probably go as young as 9, and we go as old as, you know, I'd love to have someday we have pro guys come in here, college guys. You know, I want it to be, you know, a resource for every ball player, no matter how old they are, no matter how good they are, no matter what part of their journey they're on. There's always a place for you to come develop and hone your skills. And so, right now we're just kind of doing the one-on-one training. And, it's just taking it day by day. And I feel like we've had really good feedback. And obviously there's a lot of big plans for the future. But we're taking it slow and steady and just trying to impact as many kids as possible.
Yeah, big fan of what you got going on out here. And so for anyone that's interested, you know, you mentioned that you work with these different age groups. Mm-hmm. How can people sign up?
Yeah, you can go to my Instagram. You can go to PSM Baseball on Twitter, X, Instagram, Facebook. And then you can go to PSMBaseball.com and it'll kind of give you a backstory of everything. And there'll be links on there to book for the training, and it'll take you through a website and it shows you the dates and everything, and you can book. And you just go sign up that way. And I don't know, there's not a whole lot to sell. It's really like, if you want to come get better at baseball, no matter where you are on that journey, I feel like I'm the best, you know, I'm the best available resource to do that. So, yeah, I'd love, hopefully this gets a lot of ears and we get a lot of signups, because this is no like club. It's not like a super secular thing. Like, we want to impact as many kids as possible. So never be afraid to come sign up. Like, it's, you know, if you're just looking to make your little league team, like, we want to help you do that, you know, and it just goes on that progression throughout the game.
Yeah, and I can attest, you know, it just sounds better coming from you, but I can attest, you know, this was the first time I tried it out, you know, and brought my kid here. And I can just say, from my personal experience, definitely well worth the money, too. I mean, the feedback and the instruction that you give and the fun that the kids have. Yeah. So I can definitely attest to what you got going on here. So hopefully, and like, is this, what days of the week do you operate?
We're going Monday through Friday. We go Monday, Wednesday, Friday are from 4 to 9. We run 4 to 9 every hour on the hour. And then Tuesday, Thursday is 5 to 8 every hour on the hour. So 5, 6, 7. We're just doing that right now, Monday through Friday. The schedule, if you get on the website right now, the schedule is a little wonky, but we're going to get honed in. We might take a little week break, just a little, to see how things are going. And then we'll get it probably jumping again around that second week of June. And you know, just doing the one, you know, if you want to come get better, we don't really want to turn anyone away, right? Like, we want to help as many ball players, no matter what day of the week it is, what time. So, a lot of cool things planned.
Yeah. And like, I gotta, you know, ask honestly here, mm-hmm. is where, you know, there's some places you can go to get this kind of instruction and, you know, get the reps in. So was that scary for you at all? Was there any, like, you know, I don't want to say hesitation, but was there any fear in starting, you know, one of your own programs to, compete in a certain way with the other ones?
Yeah, no, I mean, I wasn't really scared, to be honest with you. I mean, I was more of, you know, looking forward to the challenge, to be honest. I think that, like I said, I was told throughout many times throughout my career that when I was done playing that I would make a good coach, and I feel like I have that confidence within myself that I know I would be a good coach. And whether it was with Parkview, whether it was with anybody else, my plan was to do something here in the meantime while I kind of figured out the next phase of my life. And Parkview, you know, I got in touch with Parkview and they presented me with this opportunity. And I just think that the partnership with, you know, that type of partner is going to give us the ability to do some cool things here in the future. And, you know, I hate to use the word compete, because I have a lot of good relationships with a lot of those people that run.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that run other facilities, and they do a good job. And it's nothing that, not trying to undercut anybody. I'm not trying to, you know, take anybody's food off their table. But I really do have a passion for this. And, you know, a wise man told me when I was done playing, I was really struggling with, like, what am I going to do with this next phase of my life? And person told me, he said, what are you an expert at? I said, well, I didn't go to college, but I got a PhD in baseball. And he said, how can you use baseball to serve other people? And I couldn't think of a better opportunity with what I'm doing now. So, you know, I look more at the word collaboration rather than compete. I think if you're in this space, I think we all have the same goal in mind. I think the goal, right, is like, you try to impact as many kids, you try to help as many kids along their journey. And that's really like the sole focus. Now, how a lot of people get there, people do it differently. I feel like we're going to do it the best. And so, yeah, that's really what I don't really want to compete with anybody. You know, the kids are the ones that are competing, right? They're competing against each other. They're competing with each other. And it's all about the kids. You know, at the end of the day, like, we really just want to see baseball in this area. You know, we can talk about that more here in a little bit, but you know, baseball in this area is a different landscape than it was when I was in high school. I mean, there was, you know, that's just the cold hard facts. And so we're just looking to make an impact on the success in baseball in this area.
Yeah, I mean, we don't need to wait till later. We can dig into that right now. Yeah. So you know that I coach.
Yeah.
And I've coached at, you know, both Wallen.
Yeah.
And I've coached back at where I started at Elmhurst Little League as well.
Yep.
You know, there's obviously, you know, you've got little leagues, you got your local leagues.
Yep.
You have the travel ball. So kind of, you know, dig a little bit deeper into what you mean by, you know, how different the game is today. I mean, we've both been out of high school for a while, so a lot has changed. But what exactly do you mean?
Well, I'll kind of like reverse engineer it a little bit. So from 2000 to 2013, there was a high school state championship winner from Northeast Indiana every year from 2000 to 2013. Some years there was like multiple winners. Like I think Blackhawk and Snyder might have won like in the same year, but like a couple times. And then in 2013, our team in Norwell won. And that was the last team from this area to win a high school state championship in baseball. And somebody told me that, and I found that really hard to believe. So I went back and I dug, and it was true. We've had teams get to semi-state, we have had teams get to state, but we've never had anyone get over that hump in, you know, 12 years now, 11 years now. And if you go the 10 years before that, somebody won every year. And so dig a little bit more into that. It's like, how has that become possible? How has that become possible, right? And in my mind, the youth baseball landscape has really changed since the time that I was in, since the time I was an amateur. We were talking about this a little bit earlier. You know, for your 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old, when I was that age, you were playing Little League. I mean, mm-hmm. You played your Little League. You played with the kids in your community.
Yep.
You did that. I don't remember how long the season was, but after your Little League season is when travel ball would really start, especially at those ages. Mm-hmm. And I'll kind of give you kind of how it went for me. I would play Little League, and then I would play, I don't know, I'd have to ask my dad specifically, but I imagine that I played anywhere from 25 to 35 games after that in travel ball.
Yeah.
Well, now, from what I've seen, and I could be wrong, but now it's like, just in my experience, I've had kids come in that are playing both leagues at the same time. I've got kids playing Little League, and I've got kids on travel teams at the same time. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, I want every kid to get better, but you know, I played in the major leagues, and I was what I'm trying to get to is when I was that age, you know, only the best players, you know, kind of played travel after that. The kids that really wanted to take it, that were really serious about the game, went and played travel ball. And now, in my opinion, those ages, it's like a mix of like Little League and travel ball all intertwined together. And I really think that has hurt high school level baseball because your kids aren't, you know, necessarily developing together from the time they're in that Little League age and then moving up the ranks. And then as they get into school, they're around each other a lot more. And like, I mean, my high school team, for the most part, we all played Little League in the same Little League. And then when we got back to high school, we kind of caught back up with each other and then we played together. And so I really think that the biggest change has to happen at those young ages, right? Because, you know, kids are burning out more now than ever. They're getting hurt more now than ever. And, you know, I don't think in my professional experience, I don't think that if you're 8 to 13, I don't know that it's smart to play 60 baseball games in a season. Like I did that when I was 12, but there was a reason that I did that, you know, and the people that were around would tell you that. And I just think that the waters have just gotten really muddied. And I just think that whether that's an issue that can be solved, I don't know. But I'd like to at least try to, right? And, we just got to get it back to, you know, it's not all about winning trophies on the weekends and, you know, playing as many games as possible. And, I always say, like, when people ask me, I'm getting a little off topic here, but when people ask me, like, what did you do different than your peers? And it was like, I just spent more time at it. Like, kids in those ages need to be practicing a lot more than they need to be playing games. Like, you need to be developing the fundamentals. You know, baseball is a game of mastering the fundamentals. If you don't master the fundamentals, you're only going to go so far. And, like, at those prime ages, that's really what you're trying to do. And, like, I would argue that just playing as many games, is you're not solving that issue. And so I really think that we got to, you know, there's a lot of things we could go into on that, but I really think that's where it starts.
Yeah, it's a good point. Like, but even when I played, so I graduated in 2009, and like you said, like the people that played travel ball were like those special players.
Yeah.
You know, so to speak, the players that we expect to play D1.
The players that you knew were going to go play at the next level, right? I think that's essentially what you're trying to say.
Yeah, and like, so, like, going up against, like, a Jared Parker, like I did in my senior year, like, going up against those kind of players, you're like, all right.
It's a different level. There's levels to it. You know, yeah.
Patrick Veerkamp from Homestead. It's like, so I get what you're saying 100%. So I'm glad that you're one of the voices that I think understand that.
Yeah.
I think that's the number one step, is understanding that there is a problem and knowing where to address it.
Yeah, I think, you know, the other part of that too is like, baseball's so hard because the development curve can really be like, you never know like when it's going to be. Like, you could be a really like poor 12, 13 year old player, but who knows, when you hit puberty and you hit the maturation process, like if you're just like working on the fundamentals and mastering the fundamentals, man, you hit that stage of your life, you don't know what could happen. I mean, I was always a good player, but as far as like my career, I was a late bloomer, you know, and it was just like, you keep putting in the days and you keep stacking the days, like you don't know, you truly don't know what could happen. And I think that's what makes baseball so hard, is like, I think it's really easy to give up on young kids because you see them and you're like, man, I just don't see it. But like, you put enough time into it, you know, you may not get 100% better, but you're going to get better. It may be 10%, it may be 7%, it may be 25%, but like that curve of the development process, you just don't know. And so, yeah, you want to have like, within an organization, like you want to have like a hierarchy of teams, like you want to have an elite team, but I don't think there's anything wrong with having, if you've got two or three teams at each age level, what if we just took those ages and played like a developmental league within those ages, right? Like those teams don't necessarily need to be going out and playing a tournament every weekend throughout the summer. Like maybe those teams practice twice as much as they play, right? And it's like a true development academy, so to say, rather than just fielding a team and just going and playing and trying to win. You know, I just think there's a lot better ways to do it.
Yeah, it's a great point. And so you mentioned, you know, you were kind of late onto the scene.
Yeah.
And I joke with my players because I usually coach around like 12.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, they're getting there, but like they're not quite there.
Yeah.
So I joke with them. I was like, because they say they want to get better. I'm like, well, if you put half the effort you put in those video games and streaming at home, you know, you might, you know, and they love that.
Yeah,
and they can relate to that.
But, for sure.
So you mentioned that you kind of developed a little late. When was the moment for you coming up where you realized, like, man, I'm actually, you know, I've taken that next step. Like, I'm getting legit, and there could be, you know, some future in this for
you. Yeah, I'll kind of take you through the wave as an amateur and then, like, as a professional as well. Like, I mean, I was always like, I would be lying if I sat here and say that I was like not a good young player. Like, I was a really good young player. I was blessed with really good hand-eye coordination. But I was always a little kid, and my dad had a passion for the game. My dad was my coach, you know, for pretty much my whole life. And so that's really where it started. And I was on a really, really good 12-year-old team. You know, when I was 12, I was on a really good 12-year-old team. And I wasn't the best player on my team, but I was like, dang, I'm surrounded by a lot of really good players. And like, I'm competing with these guys. Like, you know, I'm pretty good. And then, you know, that 12, 13, 14 age, like that's where it's tough because some kids are starting to hit that maturation process, like in that late 13, early 14, some it's like the late 14. So like 13 and 14, like I was still a good player, but I was like, I was not a big kid. I was a small kid. I mean, my freshman year of high school, I weighed 120 pounds. Like, I was a little kid. And then, but really, my sophomore year of high school, that would have been like my 15U summer. My sophomore year of high school, I think I had led the state in hitting as a sophomore. And then I just had a really good, like, summer. And I remember I was like, dang, I got a real chance to, like, maybe not play at the professional level, but, like, I know I can play, like, D1 college baseball. And really after that 15 summer, I remember I sat down with my dad sat me down and he made me, like, you know, that was when we were like, you know, there's a lot of people around you that think you got a chance to be pretty good. And I remember we wrote down like all these goals that like I needed to get to by the time that I was 17 in order to like take that next step. And I don't remember exactly what all they were, but it was, you know, something along the lines of like there was a hitting goal, a fielding goal, a throwing goal, you know, a weight room goal, whatever it was. And really from that time on, that's kind of like when it kicked into overdrive for me. And then we get into like the fall of my senior year. I got invited to play on a fall league team sponsored by the Reds. And I went to a tournament in Iowa, won the MVP, Went to Worldwood Bat down in Jupiter and did really, really well. And then I went to the Super 60 in the winter of my senior year. I remember we played a basketball game at Columbia City, and then me and my dad drove to Chicago right after the game and had a really good event. And it's funny, I tell people all the time, I literally went from being not on anyone's draft board to being a fifth rounder in three events. It was two tournaments and the Super 60. Within those three events, like, and then obviously like my senior year of high school that season, that is kind of that progression. And then into the big, you know, into the professional career, really you're just trying to catch lightning in a bottle. And in 2019, when I was in AAA, I kind of put it all together for the first time, and the rest is kind of history. So,
yeah, so going through that process, going back, because, like, I remember the first college letters I got my senior year.
Yep.
I remember the first colleges to contact me.
Yep.
I remember going to there was a showcase at New Haven.
Okay.
And I remember the first MLB teams that, you know, were talking to some of us players.
Yep.
I know you remember some of the first college colleges to contact you, some of the first pro teams. Who were they?
Yeah. First colleges, I mean, I think I was probably – honestly, the first colleges probably would have been, like, Huntington, because we played at Huntington so much.
Yeah.
Like, we just always played there, and that's when I was really young. But when I got to be that junior summer, you know, all the Big Ten schools, Purdue, IU, Michigan. I remember the first visit I ever went on was Michigan, and that was really the first school, that big school that ever reached out to me. And I remember me and my mom went on a visit to Michigan, and that was, like, the first experience of, like – that big time college baseball, big time college. And Michigan. And then by the end of it, it was like, you know, everybody was, you know, kind of had a host of schools that I could have chosen from. And but in that sense, I was a late bloomer. So like I was recruited by all the Big Ten schools, like pretty much all the Midwest schools, but I didn't, all those Southern schools and stuff was really like after that fall, my senior year, when I kind of went off. But and then like first pro teams, it was when I went and played for that Red Scout team. The coaches of the team were all like area scouts, and so being around those guys, and then just as I kept playing better and better and better and better, it was just like more and more and more and more. And then by the end of it, you've filled out so many questionnaires, and then it's like, you know, you've heard from all of them, and so yeah, you definitely, that I feel like that time in my life all went so fast though, like it was like a blur. But yeah, those conversations and it's just, you're just like living a dream, you know. It's like when you're watching a movie, you know what I mean? And you're going through that process and you're sitting down with agents and you're doing all that kind of stuff. And I like to think of that it's not that stressful because you're just going out and playing ball and like your performance is taking care of everything else. And so, yeah, it was a fun time. And I think, you know, I'm not trying to sell too much, but this is a cool thing that I think through PSM that we're going to be able to offer is like that through that process. Like we want to be able to help you through that process. We want to be able to help you through the recruiting process. How do you talk to coaches? How do you send emails to coaches of like, hey, I'm interested in coming to your school. How do you do all that kind of stuff? And so I went through all of it, and I had a lot of people around me that did it with me. So I know I got a lot of good resources. It's all been a dream come true.
Yeah, and you always mentioned, you know, that it was a dream come true, and you were obviously able to play at a pretty elite level, too, at the professional level.
Yeah.
And now that you're giving back. So what do you think it was, you know, like, because obviously, you know, you're still young.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, what do you think, what was the reason why Josh Van Meter just had to take a step away from the professional ranks?
In the short answer, I don't know that I was good enough anymore, to be quite honest with you. You know, I wasn't putting up the numbers that I needed to keep a job, to be quite honest with you. But and also, you know, that is serious. There's some seriousness in that. But, you know, other than that, I just started, you know, I had a lot of things going on in my personal life. You know, me and my wife just started a family, and being, you know, the baseball life is
not easy.
It's not easy. You know, you're gone a lot, and my wife was accomplishing a lot of things for herself, and so we weren't always together. And then we had our son, and being away was just really tough. And you know, I hadn't accomplished everything that I wanted in my career, but I really sat down and felt like I'd had a pretty daggone good run. And you just start to, you know, anytime I have like a big decision in my life, I just weigh out the pros and cons. And when the cons outweigh the pros, it makes your decision pretty easy. And so, yeah, it was honestly an easy decision to walk away. I mean, I tell everybody this, like, if you're, you know, I'm 30, I just turned 30. If you're 30 and you're not established in the big leagues, it's, you're playing with short time. Like, there's just not many 30-year-olds in AAA that aren't either on a 40-man roster or whatever it is. And so that's kind of the business side of baseball. And so for me, I honestly remember telling my wife, I was just like, I think the game's just telling me, you know, I don't want to fight it. If it's telling me, like, hey, there's better things on your horizon, like, you know, you had a good run, and I just really embraced that. And then I just trusted my gut, and then this opportunity kind of arose kind of out of that. It was just like, it was literally the timing of everything was pretty incredible. And it's led me to where we are today. And I think we're doing a good job, and I've been having a lot of fun. And it's somebody was just asking me the other day about retirement, and they were asking how I was doing. And I'm like, honestly, like, I'm doing really, really well. Like, you know, I really don't miss playing. I miss being around the guys. I miss the locker room. I miss all that kind of stuff. But, man, I've really enjoyed being home, being dad, coaching, and just kind of doing this. And, you know, I missed out on a lot of stuff. You know, I went right out of high school. And, you know, so now I'm 30, and it's really the first time I've been home for 12 months out of a year. So, yeah, we're just taking it day by day. And I've been trying to keep myself busy, and so it's been really good. And I really am, like, looking forward to the future of, especially of what I'm doing now, and really just trying to grow the game here in Fort Wayne.
Absolutely. It all has come full circle, man. Mm-hmm. And that's why we relate so much. I think, you know, me and you is just the family.
Yeah.
That's always number one. And yeah. I think that gets lost a little bit into the journey. But yep. In case someone's just now joining or kind of skimmed over everything earlier, I kind of want to just kind of put everything into contrast. You know, you had the major league career. Mm-hmm. You came through the 260, which, mm-hmm. you know, we appreciate that. Mm-hmm. You know, the way you represent the game, the way you represent the city. Mm-hmm. But one more time, tell everybody what you got going on today. I definitely want to give you, you know, you said you don't want to sell too much, but I think you deserve it, man. You've put so much time and effort into the city and the game of baseball. I think you deserve the floor once again to promote what you guys got going at PSM.
Yeah, thank you, DC. You know, one of the things you touched on, like, you know, I come from a small town. Like, I tell everybody, I'm, you know, small town USA, you know, being from Ossian, and, like, I'm really proud of, like, where I'm from. You know, my parents, you know, did a great job in raising me, and, like, I'm super proud of, like, being able to make it where I did for where we came from. And, like, I think, you know, it's a cool story, and I think it should give a lot of kids hope. You know, it's not, I'm not saying that, you know, don't get me wrong, making the big leagues is really, really hard. Like, if your dream is to make the big leagues, like, you know, it ain't always gonna be pretty. It's gonna be hard. You're gonna fail a lot, and you're gonna go through the ups and downs of just what baseball is. But you know, it teaches two really important qualities, in resiliency and perseverance. And those are two of the things I'm most grateful for that the game has kind of taught me. And bringing that small, you know, this is home for me. It's always been home. And, you know, I don't really have any plans of leaving. It's, you know, whether it's Wells County, whether it's Fort Wayne, it don't really matter. And just kind of building off of that, you know, at PSM, like, I just really think that, you know, I've been blessed with an opportunity to bring my experiences that I've had as a player. I always tell everybody, you know, throughout my baseball career, I was the best player on really good teams. I was also the worst player on really bad teams. And, you know, it's all relative, whether that was in the big leagues, whether it was in double A, single A, whatever it was. Like, I know what it feels like to, like, never play. Like, I went through a stretch in Pittsburgh where I sat the bench for 10 weeks in a row. Like, I literally didn't get a start for 10 weeks. And, you know, I give myself a lot of credit, because throughout that 10 weeks, like, I still showed up every day. I got my routine in. I did everything I needed to do. And then, you know, that's really what the game's about, is, like, you put the time in when nobody's watching. And then when you get in between the lines, like, you trust and you hope that you're not, I hate to use the word hope, because when you're in between the lines, like, there's no time for hope. Like, you got to get in there and believe in yourself. And that belief comes from all the time you put in working by yourself. And I think that's one of the big things that I think our youth might struggle with today, is that, you know, you can't just work 2 or 3 hours a week at this game and expect to be a really, really good player. You know, I tell everybody, from the time I was 12 to the time I was 18, me and my dad, 4 to 5 nights out of the week, we're putting 2 to 3 hours into it, you know, every night. And that's, you know, I hate to say, like, that's what it takes. That's what my family sacrificed for me to become the player that I was. And so I really think I bring a unique experience to leading a baseball program. And, you know, whether it be teams, whether it be training, whether it be events, whether whatever it is, I really think that I don't even think I really believe that I bring the best platform for somebody to come and try to and progress in their development as a baseball player. And obviously that's going to take a lot of work, and, you know, I'm not scared of the work, and it's going to take a lot of trust, people trusting in me. But I just really, I believe, you know, whether the experience, whether you want to call it credentials, whatever it is, I really believe that we're going to be the best home for you when it comes to baseball. You know, when it comes to baseball, I don't think there's going to be a better place for you to come, get better and try to become a better player. So there's a lot that's wrapped into that, obviously, right? Like we still want to develop good human beings. At the end of the day, I always tell people, I was stressed as a young kid coming up through the game. And, you know, at the end of the day, when you're done playing, there aren't going to be too many people that remember how good of a player you were, but they're going to remember if you were a good guy or a bad guy. And I think that's something that is super important to me. Something I had to learn, you know, as far as leadership late in my career. And, you know, I think we got to get back to that a little bit, you know? And so, I feel like I bring a unique perspective, and I'm just excited to share it.
Absolutely great stuff, and we definitely look forward to seeing everything you got going. Definitely want to keep in touch.
Yep.
I'm definitely going to bring my boy back. He's already been bugging me about it, so I'll make sure to bring my boy back. We got to get you out to the vintage baseball
show. I know. Man. You were telling me about it. I might have to stop on out as long as I can stay a little incognito. I might, you know what I mean? So, no, but I've heard great things about it, and no, I definitely will have to. I'll have to come out. You'll shoot me the details, and I'll have to make a stop for sure.
I got you, man. Yeah. we'll have to set aside our, our disguise.
Yeah, there you go.
Coming like Michael Jackson.
That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. As long as there's no like pop up tent for me, you know, I can just be there and enjoy it. Maybe grab a hot dog or something. And
let's
so,
go.
Yeah, I'll be there for sure.
Sounds good, man. Thank you so much for coming on. Definitely keep up the great work, and we'll keep in touch.
Yep. Yes, sir. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, DC.
Thank you for listening to this exclusive presentation of the 260 Dugout Podcast, presented by the Old Ford Baseball Company,